Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the 10th chapter, which is a continuation of Iyov's impassioned response to Bildad. The Masoreh does not separate this chapter from the previous one, and apparently the contents in this chapter were set aside because its words are primarily directed to God and not to Iyov's friends. As a side note, the division of the Tanakh into chapters and numbering of verses, as it appears even in the Jewish editions, dates back to the 12th century and is attributed to Stephen Langton, Archbishop of Canterbury. Though this division most often corresponds to the Masoreh separations, indicated by peis to indicate a new parshia or chapter, and samachs to indicate a subdivision, comparable to paragraphs, there are several cases of blatant deviations in the Christian division that are quite deliberate and come to promote a Christian theological interpretation. Nonetheless, this chapter and verse divisions were later adopted by Jewish publishers, ostensibly to enable debate and polemics between Jews and Christians. In any event, we will study this second part of Iyov's response, which seems to be a reaction to Bildad's prodding that Iyov should call out to Hashem. Iyov takes up the challenge and speaks, picking up the thread of the last verse in chapter 9, in which he declared, Adabra velo ira'enu, ki lo chen anochi imadi. Amos Chacham interprets that verse as, I would speak, and I do not fear him, for that is not in my nature. Iyov insists he is not a coward, and would not hesitate to speak his truth to those that are more powerful than he, thinking that even if God would smite me, I've nothing to lose. And this thought continues in the first two verses of chapter 10. Nakta nafshi b'chayai, ezva alai sichi, adabra b'mar nafshi. Omar el eloka, al tarshieni, hodieni, al ma tiriveni. According to Rashi, the first clause, Nakta nafshi b'chayai, should be interpreted as, my soul is quarreling within me. Why cling to life? Ramban agrees and elaborates. Iyov is not afraid, having already given up on life, and therefore can't be threatened by the potential danger in speaking his truth. In these two verses, Iyov declares, in any event, I cannot leave my thoughts unsaid and keep them repressed in my heart. So I will express the bitterness in my soul, and I would say to God, don't condemn me before you inform me for what crime you are prosecuting me. When Iyov gets no answer from above, he moves on to an elaborate complaint spoken directly in second person to Hashem. Hatov lecha ki ta'ashok, Kitim as yegia kapecha, ve'al atzat rishaim hofata. Does it please you to abuse me, to despise the work of your hands, and then reveal yourself on the schemes of the wicked? First, Iyov ponders quite explicitly. Perhaps God has some benefit from exploiting the weak, or perhaps God disdains his own creation. But then, in an oblique statement that seems to have some words missing, he bemoans, Ve'alatzat reshaim hofata. You revealed yourself through the plots of the wicked. Ibn Ezra and Rashi explain why this clause is so obtuse. It seems even Iyov understands that he has gone too far with this accusation, and he censors himself when he actually intended to say that God seems to be responsible and supportive of the evil machinations of cruel men. Harav Yisachar Yaakovson, in his book Ba'ayat HaGmul BaMikra, dedicated to exploring all of the chapters of the Tanakh that deal with the problem of evil, why it seems that good people suffer and evil people are unpunished, explains how a man whom Hashem called Tam V'Yashar, Yirei Elokim V'Sar Mera, can make such an audacious accusation, blaming Hashem for the prevalence of wickedness. Harav Yaakovson says, Iyov represents the highest forms of faith, believing firmly in the Creator and yet daring to criticize and challenge God's manner of running the world. Only a firm believer can be so honest in his search for understanding the ways of God, believing in Hashem, yet bewildered by his action or inaction. Nevertheless, it is incredible that Iyov suggests that Hashem reveals himself on the schemes of Reshaim. The verb hofia appears in the context of revelation at Sinai, as described in Parashat Ha'azinu, and it appears again in Tehillim, Kel Nekamot Hashem, Kel Nekamot, that we say every Wednesday, Shir Shel Yom. That mizmor is a promise that Hashem will reveal himself again as the God of vengeance, vindicating the innocent people by wreaking vengeance against cruel enemies, showing himself once more as Shofet Haaretz, the judge of all that happens here on earth, and will demand retribution from the arrogant and the evil. How then can Iyov even suggest that Hashem reveals himself on or through or by tolerating the scheming plots of the wicked? Apparently, Iyov cuts into this line of thought and moves directly into a series of rhetorical, but no less biting questions. Ha'enei basar lach, im kirot enosh tir'eh, hachi yimei enosh yamecha, im shnotecha ki yimei gaver. Do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as man sees? Are your days like those of a mortal? Or your years like those of a man? Not receiving or even expecting an answer to his questions, Iyov begins to plead with his Creator, who knows that Iyov has committed no crime that deserves such anguish. In the eighth verse, he begins a description of the formation of a human embryo and its growth into a human being capable of reason and of love. Yadecha itzvuni vayasuni, yachat saviv vativlaini. You designed me, you made me, and now those same hands encircle me to consume me. Ramban suggests that itzvuni may be derived from the Semitic root etzev, which refers to the formation of the organs and limbs that will be assembled in the uterus. Targum Yonatan suggests it refers to atzavim, a root in Arabic signifying nerves that emanate from the brain and spine. Accordingly, this verse begins to describe the painstaking process of gestation, in which the fertilized egg develops into a functional fetus and then continues to grow and mature in the mother's body with God's nurturing care, as delineated in the following verses. Zechor na, ki kachomer asitani, ve'el afar teshiveni, halo kechalav tatichani, uchagvina takpieni. אור ובשר תלבישני, ובעצמות וגידים תשוחחני, חיים וחסד עשית עמדי, ופקודתך שמרה רוחי. Remember, please, that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again? Didn't you pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews. You gave me life and showed me kindness. And by your command, you watched over my spirit. Ralbag extols the metaphors describing the fertilized egg taking form into an embryo, the growth of the vital organs that are then covered with and protected with flesh and skin, the heart and lungs sheltered in a cage of bones. He then explains that God's command, which programs the wondrous function of the organism so it can begin to swallow, digest, and prepares to take its first breath, even before it has emerged from the womb. Ramban explains that in the following verses 13 and 14, Eov asks, with the life force and the unfailing love that Hashem invested into the infant, he emerges into this world. And now disease and despair are destroying God's wondrous creation. And for what? Eov then asks, since God knows the future, as well as the past and present, he had surely known that life would betray Eov. Then why was he created in the first place? If God knew that Eov would sin, if he knew that Eov deserves to suffer, why bother to protect and nurture him? Finally, in the 18th and 19th verses, Eov cries out, ולמה מרחב הוצאתני? אגבה ועין לא תראני. כאשר לא הייתי, אהיה מבטן לקבר ובל. Why then did you bring me out of the womb? I wish I had died before any eye saw me. If only I had never come into being, or had been carried straight from the womb to the grave. He ends by begging for respite before he will face inevitable mortality, before he returns to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, leaving this world, which is also covered in cloudy gloom, obscuring the light of hope or comprehension. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat. Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.